Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one. Everybody say, uh-oh. Will she not light a lamp, sweep the entire house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she will call in her friends, neighbors, and she will say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. We've often heard the scripture said, all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. And although today, yes, I will introduce, if you are not following God with your whole heart today, I will introduce an invitation to do so. But just so you're aware, this message will go much further and much deeper than that. And so today, the title of the message is The Missing Piece. The missing piece. If you lay your Bibles down, we'll go before the Lord in prayer one more time. Lord, thank you so much, God, for worship today. Thank you for what you have done in this house already. God, help me today. Help my heart. Help my lips. God, let me speak what thus saith the Lord, and nothing more and nothing less. God, make me right before you. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. God, I pray these sweet people, God, would receive the word with gladness. God, and that it would spring forth fruit in their lives. God, and show forth your favor and your promise in their life and in their family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word today. Not everything you lose goes too far away. How many knows that to be true? Anybody ever lost the remote to your TV and it was hiding under the cushion of the couch? Not everything lost has gone too far away. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was this last Christmas. It may have been the one before that. We were putting a puzzle together at the house. I never liked puzzles, but apparently because my wife does, I now do. So every Christmas, and it kind of started in 2019 when I moved to Smithville and had a few Christmases like sporadically around in different places. That one particular place, that was their thing. They got a puzzle and they would put it together Christmas Day. Why? I thought it was a relaxing day. I don't know why I want a challenge. Like, there's nothing about that that seems satisfying. However, what I began to notice is the unity or camaraderie or the act of just being together and doing something together, maybe even challenging, it's just something about it. Now, a little bit about me, I didn't grow up with Christmas the same way as maybe most of you did. I didn't have a tree until I was 20 years old. We didn't celebrate Christmas for all intents and purposes at all, right? And it's a long story, can't get into it. Those are people that are watching online later. It's not as bad as it sounds, but it just was different, right? So I didn't have Christmas traditions necessarily. But this puzzle thing just kind of come out of nowhere because I didn't really like it, didn't really enjoy it. The first year that it happened, I was like standing afar, kind of making fun, and thought, what's the point? And then I helped one time, and I just got hooked, I guess. And just so this year, I'll get back to my story. I'll stop rambling. Back to my story, this last Christmas, we put a puzzle together. Savannah, do you remember how big? Was it 1,000 pieces or was it not that big? I think it was 1,000 pieces. Okay, 1,000 pieces is great when it's a bunch of different colors. Well, not really. That's actually worse. But this one was a puzzle of Costco. Okay, going to Costco is a puzzle. So putting a puzzle together of this place that is a puzzle, and I'm talking, it took longer than Christmas Day. But we got it all together. You're probably getting what I'm about to say, except one piece. And I was certain that that piece did not come in the box. I would have stood on that hill, died on that hill. You could have buried me there. That piece did not come in that box. Until about a month later, I realized it's under the couch. Now, a puzzle piece wasn't as important. Now, in the moment it was. We were looking everywhere. And when you have a one-year-old in the house, Anything is possible. Okay? So I'm convinced now it's her fault. Nevertheless, it wasn't that big of a deal, but in the moment it was. We looked everywhere. We looked under cushions. I promise you, we looked under the couch. We looked under everything and couldn't find it. So we just settled it. That piece did not come in the box. And the puzzle was completed. Because if you know anything about men, it is detrimental to our well-being to leave something incomplete. And so I just wrote it off as it didn't come in the box because it was the only way I could sleep that night until I found the piece and realized that I should have been awake looking for that piece for the last month. So when we finally found the piece, the puzzle had done been put away, demolished, and I suddenly wanted to get it back out and put it all together again. Nevertheless, what came to my mind is what I just said. Not everything that is lost is always far away. Some things are lost close by, hidden, buried, forgotten. You know, a TV remote seems super important, especially when you're trying to turn it off. Not much when you try to turn it on. When you're trying to turn it on, it's like, oh, it ain't worth it. I'm just going to go to bed, or I'll just leave. But when you're trying to turn it off, I must find this remote. And so it is challenging and it is frustrating, but we will turn cushions over, we will move couches, we will move refrigerators, we will take the cabinets off the wall, we will do anything and everything to find what we're looking for. And this parable, and what's unique about this, is it's stuck between two stories that Jesus is telling. One is the parable of the prodigal son. It's not titled that, but that's what we know it as. The son who spent all the father's, the inheritance, all his living in frivolous lifestyle. And suddenly he comes to himself and he goes back to the father's house. That was a sign or an instance of something lost that was very, very far away. And then you have the other side of the story. And it's again, this story we're talking about stuck between. The other side of the story is when the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes find the one. Again, a sheep that is lost that is really far away. And in between this is a somewhat lost story, no pun intended. But it's a lost story in between these stories of someone who had lost a coin. Now, if you lose a penny, it may not be much of a big deal. But if you lose something of value, and in these days a silver coin would have been very valuable, and to all, for all intents and purposes, all we know about this lady is she owns 10 silver coins. So losing one is a big deal. Well, she lost it, and she knew it was in the house. So, as stated in the story, she searched the entire, she swept, she lit a lamp, she, all of the above. But today, I just want to let you know that this parable is not just about salvation for an outsider. In fact, in God's kingdom, there are very few outsiders. This story is about recovery over those who feel overlooked, unseen. It's about the one who shows up, smiles, serves, but on the inside, something is missing. Many of you today may have showed up to this house and you've been in church before. You've showed up to churches. You've showed up to this church, whatever it might be. You got the smile on your face. You're excited to be here. Worship was great. You were lifting your hands. But on the inside, you know something is missing. And really, sometimes you don't even know what that something is. That is the biggest challenge in life, is when you know something's missing, but you don't know what it is. Well, I'm here today to let you know God wants to restore that something. God wants to give you that something back. He wants to help you find it. And today, God is sweeping through this house. So my question to you, and it may not be one you can answer right now in this moment, but hopefully before the end of this message you will. What is missing in you? You can ask that of yourself. What is missing in me? Sometimes the most painful kind of loss is those that are internal. You're showing up, but you're dried up. You love God, but you feel far from the fire. You're functioning, but you're empty. What have you lost? Have you lost your peace? Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your purity? Have you lost your hunger for God? Don't ignore what you've misplaced. Don't normalize the numbness. Don't we do that? Don't we do that when we are unsure of what we've lost? We're unsure, we just know something's missing. We tend to fill it with things of this world. We know we're missing a connection with God. We know we're missing the peace of God, the joy of God. So what we do is we indulge in the things of this world and we get distracted and numb ourselves away. And God is not calling you just to survive today. He wants you to recover. The enemy wants you to believe that everything you've lost is gone. David went out to battle, fought the Lord's battle, fought the enemy, and destroyed the enemy. And on his way home, he from afar seen his house and all the men he was battling with, their houses burning, a smoke-filled sky. They walk into Ziklag where they live, and they see their families are not there anymore. Their houses are burned. Their families have been kidnapped. Their kids, their wives have been taken. They were fighting the Lord's battle. Why would that happen? Why would God let that happen? And so David began to feel pity. And even the men that he fought next to, just a few hours and days prior, looked at him and said, "It's your fault. We're going to stone you. Our families are lost because of you." And David went and he said, "Lord, what are you doing?" How many's ever been there? What? Hello? Do you remember me? I'm fighting battles for you, remember? And David, the Bible says, encouraged himself and he asked the Lord, "God, if you would, can I go get my stuff back?" Somebody today, you need to just get out of the pit that you're in about losing your stuff and you just need to ask God, "Can I get my stuff back?" You just need to say, "God, am I allowed to have that back? Can I have my joy back? Can I have my peace back?" Because the answer to David was, go, pursue the enemy, destroy the enemy, and recover all that you lost. Today, I'm here to encourage you today, the Pentecostals of Watertown, that what you have lost is not destroyed. It's not gone forever. You just need to get up, encourage yourself today in the Lord and say, "Today is the day. I'm not recovering some of it. I'm not recovering one thing. I'm recovering everything." Yes. Amen? Yes. And the enemy wants you to believe it's all gone. It can't come back. But I'm telling you, restoration is what Jesus does. That's what his business is. That's why he came to this earth and died for you, to restore that which the enemy had taken. Do you know what's crazy? The enemy has convinced us that he's got our stuff. He don't even have the keys to his own house. When Jesus died on the cross and was put in that grave, the Bible says he went to the death, hell, and the grave, and he took the keys from the devil. So you're going to tell me somebody who don't even have the keys to his own house is going to convince me that I've lost what I need? No, sir. No, ma'am. Today, I'm telling you, in the peace and the favor of God today and the anointing of God, I'm telling you somebody needs to stand on their feet and say, "Today, I'm getting my stuff back. The devil can't keep it. The devil can't keep it." There's an old song. I'm going down to the enemy's camp and I'm going to take back what the devil stole from me. Why? Because he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Today, somebody needs to say in your mind, in your heart, "God, I will if you will." And I'm telling you today, God does. He does want you to get your stuff back. Psalms 139:23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." God does not want to condemn you, but he does want to heal you. He knows where you've dropped passion. He knows where the wound happened. He knows the version of you that believed in Him and believed He could do anything. He knows how to bring that back. I told you on Wednesday, may have been Sunday as well, I look back over my life and think of that little 8, 9, 10-year-old boy with a purple suit. And I think of that testimony. And I look at myself today when I question God. And I say to myself, what happened to that little boy that knew God could do anything? And I remind myself that I'm not alone, that I'm not forgotten. And that thing that I feel that I'm inadequate in and I've lost and I'll never get back, God quickly reminds me, hey, from a little boy, you didn't do it by yourself. And you're not doing it by yourself today. And I'm here to encourage you today. If I can be an echo of God, if I could be a megaphone from heaven to let you know that you're not alone. And that God, if you look over the last 5 years of your life, you look over the last 10 years of your life, God has kept you. God has been there for you. Oh, you may not have recognized Him and you may have shamed Him or turned away from Him. And you know what? God's grace and mercy is here today if you've done that. But even when we turned our face from Him, He still kept us. We take advantage of every car ride that we ride, thinking that we just get to and fro. And we're just there because we're good drivers. No, 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 no. It's God's mercy. Because statistically, you're more likely to get in a car wreck than a plane crash or be struck by lightning or any of you are more likely to die in a car wreck. And nevertheless, we go and we come and we go and we go to the grocery store and we go to the gas station and we go home and we go to work every day of our life and we don't recognize the keeping power of our God. And if He can keep you, He's going to give you what you got, what you lost. So I want you to be encouraged. What you think is gone forever, God is giving it back to you today. Can anybody say, I want it back? Anybody say, I want that back? God will give it to you today. But there's some things we got to do. We can't just expect God, again, as a bellhop, to give it on a silver platter. There's some things we got to do. And it's in this story. The first thing the woman does is what? She turns the lights on. It's really hard to find stuff in the dark. Well, unless you're at your toe to the couch. That seems easy to find, right? Or if you have kids, your foot on the Lego. The first thing she does is turn the light on. Why? Because without light, we can't see clearly. And the same is without the Word and the Spirit, we will walk. Without the Word and the Spirit, we will walk right past what we're looking for. Think about that. You're looking for joy. You're looking for peace. You're looking for that passion for God's presence, that passion for God's kingdom. And if you are not in the Word and operating in the Spirit or having the Spirit lead you, we will walk right past what we're looking for. Light is not information. It is revelation. It reveals unto us. The Holy Ghost will shine in areas we have kept dark. Oh, you want your stuff back? You're going to have to shine some light on some dark places that you wanted to keep dark. But the Holy Ghost is not there to shame you or to expose you. He doesn't want to expose you to shame. He wants to expose you to restoration. And oftentimes in the dark corners of our life is where we've shoved our passion hidden with the shame. Hidden with that thing we don't want anyone to know. We don't even want God to know. Think about this. An all-knowing God we try to hide from. But Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today we need to relight the lamp, dust off the Bible, rekindle the altar, and invite the Holy Ghost to search us again. Because what you've been missing is quite possibly still in the house. Think about that. It's not been taken far away. It's not been taken away where you can't find it. What you have lost is still in the house. And all it takes is for you to turn the light on again. And what's been hidden in the dark will be revealed in the light. The second thing that she done after the light was turned on and she couldn't find it in the very easily seen places, she had to sweep. That signifies movement. It means effort. It means discomfort. Unfortunately, as much as we would love to sit on the couch, turn the light on, and our lost joy be right there in the middle of the floor, sometimes it's not so much. It's been swept away with the dust and in the hidden places. And it takes some effort and some uncomfortable seasons for us to say, I'm going to sweep. I'm going to sweep and stir up the settled dust and move some things out of the way. How many times have you felt like when you cleaned, you found some stuff you didn't need anymore? Found some stuff that was just clutter. Some things you needed to throw away. Some things you needed to put away. The sweeping signifies a disruption in our hearts that we need. My question today is, how bad do you want that back? How bad do you want the missing piece? How bad do you want your joy? How bad do you want your peace? Are you willing to put some effort to say, God, I don't need that anymore, so I'm going to sweep it away. I'm going to put it away. And you will find when you sweep away the dust, just like when I sweep away the dust from under the couch and I find toys, and I find the remote, and I find the missing piece to my puzzle from Christmas, you will find something in your life that you have been missing that you didn't even know about. It uncovers forgotten corners. This uncomfortable season, but necessary season, is a part of revival. You know, so many times we want Holy Ghost fire without holy disruption. We want those things without God messing our life up. I'm sorry, you don't get to choose fire without it consuming something. And let me tell you today, you and I are the sacrifice that must go on that altar. We must be willing to sacrifice the things that we don't want to give up, we don't want to get rid of. There was a promise given unto Abraham. You're going to have a son, and you're going to be the father of many nations. And you know what happened as soon as he had that son? God says, all right, sacrifice him. Sacrifice him? A promise? He's just a little boy. Yeah. Sacrifice him. God, I don't understand. This is my promise. You've given this to me. So he starts walking with Isaac up a mountain, gathering sticks and stone with a donkey. And you want to know what he said to the servants at the bottom of the mountain? He says, stay here. The lad and I are going to worship. Sacrifice is all about worship. And Abraham knew that this was a promise from God. So he knew God was going to do something, but he was yet calling him to obey. And he gets to the top of that mountain and he ties his son to the altar. But before he did, Isaac was no dummy. He understood sacrifice. He understood what was going on. He looks at it, Dad, we got wood. We got stone. We're going to build an altar. Okay, but where is the sacrifice? And his response is, son, God will yet provide us a lamb. And he gets his son on that altar and he takes the knife. Imagine this feeling, seeing your child. And he raises a knife and an angel stops him. Abram, stop. Look up. And he looks up and behold a ram. And all I can picture is that Abraham and Isaac are walking up this side of the mountain. And on the other side of the mountain, there's a ram walking. So God's provision is on the other side of the mountain. You just got to keep going, keep obeying, sweep away those things, be willing to sacrifice and obey God, and God will provide. Proverbs 20 and 27 says, the Lord's light will penetrate the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. That's why David said, and my prayer is often when I pray to the Lord, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. If we want to find what is lost, we're going to have to stir some things up in prayer. We're going to have to stir some things up in worship. We're going to have to repent of some things. We're going to have to get uncomfortable to get whole again. So you have to declare in your spirit, I'm not going to stay settled. I'm not going to stay complacent. I'm not going to stay numb, but I will sweep until I see a breakthrough. Lastly, she searched until she found it. I want you to think about that. She searched until she found it. How many get a little discouraged after you're trying to do what God says and nothing happens? Yeah. Me? I do. But there's something about that persistence. There's something about that intensity. It's not God playing games and saying, well, I want to see how long you'll go before. No. It's there's a persistence to make sure everything has been cleaned in the house. There's an intensity to say, this thing I have lost is so valuable to me that I will not do anything but search for this. No, the family gathering that's in a few hours is not important. The things I need to do, the bills I need to, that's not important right now. What's important is what I have lost. I need it. The faith in action. She did not assume that the coin was gone forever. She knew and believed it was still in the house. So the first order of business for you today is you first got to believe it's still obtainable. Yeah. It's not too far away. It's not gone. It's not destroyed. You need to believe that which you are looking for, that peace, that joy, that salvation, it is still in the house. And let me tell you today, in this church, as I prayed last night, God let me know that this is still in this house. So if you showed up today and you don't know where in the world to look for it, I'm telling you, it is in this house. And all God wants you to do is just shed a little light, sweep a little bit in your house, sweep up your heart and say, God, I don't know what in the world I need today. I know I'm missing something and I know this house got it because you are here. And today I'm just opening my heart. I'm lifting my hands and I'm saying, God, give me everything that I lost. God's not hiding what you need. He's drawing you to pursue it. The woman's pursuit was proof of the value of which she was looking for. You see, that coin may have been worth whatever silver was worth in that day, but it meant more than just the cost and the value of the currency because of her pursuit. So peace may not mean much to somebody over here, but it may mean a whole lot to somebody over here because of your willingness to pursue it. If it didn't matter, why would she even look for it? You matter. Your purpose matters. Your voice matters. Your calling matters. Your heart, it matters to God. And aren't you glad He pursued you with relentless pursuit? As I mentioned just a little while ago, Wednesday and Sunday, he could have called a legion of angels to come get him off of a cross and say, this ain't really worth it. They can just keep sacrificing lambs, pushing sin off. They can just keep doing what they've been doing. But no, his pursuit for you, his pursuit for me, said, I will suffer. I will pursue them. And the pursuit doesn't stop at just your value. What is your value? Your value was the death of God Himself. God Himself, the creator of all of the universe, that's your value. Even greater, Not just his death, but also his resurrection. Think about that. Next time you feel like you're worthless, and you can't do anything right, and you're a failure, you need to think again. Because the God of heaven came down to this earth, was beaten, persecuted, had a crown of thorns put on his head, and those thorns were as long as my finger, buried with a hammer into his head, died on a cross, a spear in his side, and put in a grave, and rose again, all to purchase your salvation. Now I'm starting looking at my value a little bit more. Now being a son and a daughter of God is a little bit more valuable. It's not just, oh God, I come to church, I lift my hands, I say thank you, Jesus. No more. Now it's a pursuit for him. No longer is he trying to just pursue for you, but he said, I've purchased you with the blood. I have risen from the grave for you. You come pursue me. I have everything you need. And where it hits the hardest for me is so often we give up. So often I give up on the things that I'm pursuing because I feel like I've got to leave the house and go out into this dark and cold and evil and sinful world to find something that I have lost, when all I really need to understand is it is in the house. It's not a prodigal running away. It's not a sheep hanging off a cliff. It is someone. It is something that is lost in the house. And though it's lost and that feels detrimental and it feels like, oh my gosh, this is over. It's lost. But I'm so excited because it's still in the house. Oh, we've not seen a miracle yet. Oh, we've not seen someone baptized yet this month. Oh, that's okay, because it's still in the house. So don't be discouraged when you don't see it. Just turn on the light, start sweeping, and start looking. Turn on the light, start sweeping, and start looking. We notice that maybe 11:30 ain't the right time, so we change the times because we're going to turn on the light, we're going to start sweeping, and we're going to start looking. This is a wake-up call for us. There are people in the pews that have lost some stuff, and it is in plain sight. People who've been faithful but feel forgotten. Leaders who feel like they've lost their passion. Young people who feel unseen or don't have anything to do. Marriages that look fine but are secretly falling apart. Today, I'm telling you, God can do a miracle of restoration that maybe we don't see with our own eyes today at 11:25 a.m. But today, I believe God can do something miraculous. He can put things back together. He can restore from bitterness. He can restore from the hurt. We can't afford to get comfortable in these pews and these chairs when someone's in the room that's crumbling. It's not enough to have full seats and empty souls. This house may be full and people aren't following God. What's the point? Well, sure, it makes us feel good that the pews are full, the chairs are full. That feels really good. That's awesome. I love saying we have guests, and I'm thankful you're here, but I want you to receive what you came for. I don't want it to be a check off of your schedule. I want you to come knowing that this is a house of restoration. This is the house where water can flow, that living water can flow. Revival doesn't just save the world, it restores the house. We're a lighthouse. We're a city set on a hill. We're a light, a candle to light the way. When the woman found the coin, she didn't keep quiet. She celebrated, and guess what? She didn't celebrate alone. She started getting neighbors and friends. And she said, this is what heaven does, and this is what I'm going to do. We're going to rejoice and be thankful. Well, you just lost a coin. Oh, here's where I'm going to preach to the church just a second, okay? If someone finds some peace, don't be like, oh, yeah, I got that last week. If somebody finds some peace and they find some joy, it doesn't matter what you think that's worth. You just need to get with them and say, oh, hallelujah, I'm going to rejoice with you. That is what the body of Christ does. It doesn't matter what you think that value's worth. They pursued it and they found it. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? God's not looking for crowds. He's looking for restoration. He's looking for those that are lost, even in the house. And He's not counting how many Sundays in a row you came to church. He's pursuing the part of you that has been lost in the routine. And when it comes back, man, I wish we could see what heaven does when it throws a party. I wish I could see those angels dancing on the clouds. I wish I could see Jesus stand up from His throne and just cry those tears of joy that you have been restored and that your joy and your passion has been brought back to your life. As I close today, stand to your feet. I don't want you to downplay that restoration. I don't want you to minimize that moment. If God restores your heart, your hunger, your hope, you need and must shout about it. Because even one restored piece in the puzzle makes heaven rejoice. And I tell you, if I'd have found that piece to that Costco piece on Christmas, I probably would have shouted in the house. You know what I'd have said? I found it! And so today, when that peace is restored to you, when that joy is restored to you, when salvation is restored, that passion for God's presence and His Word is restored to you, you should go, I found it. I found it. And I promise you, this church will celebrate with you. So what's missing? Have you been pretending it's just not lost? Today, God's calling us to turn the light on, sweep the house, and search until we recover. This is the moment to stop functioning in brokenness, missing pieces. And this is the moment to be made whole. You're not too far gone. What you've lost is not too far gone. You're not too broken, and it's not too late. There's still room in the boat, and the peace is still here. Today cannot just be another service. It needs to be a search party. All hands on deck. If I'm missing some joy, I need some help finding it. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. I, the Lord, will restore to you the years. I'm going to restore what is lost. What swarming locust, hopping locust, stripping locust, cutting locust, it was I who sent this great destroying army against you, but I will restore it. 2 Corinthians says, God has made this light to shine in our hearts. And Luke 19 says, for God came to seek and to save that which is lost. But we can't have this fire. We can't find this without a holy disruption. So I invite you today. I invite you to the altar today.